Now, if you've got your Bible with you this morning, we want to read together, please, from the Acts of the Apostles and the chapter 4. The Acts of the Apostles and the 4th chapter, please. Acts of the Apostles and the chapter 4, please. And will you look, please, at the verse 23. Verse 23 of Acts chapter 4. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them, brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man, according as he had need. Now we'll end our reading there, and we know the Lord always blesses the public reading of his precious word. Let's bow together in a brief word of prayer, please, as we turn now to the word of the Lord for the remainder of our meeting this morning, please. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we draw near again to thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee, our Father, for these lovely old hymns that we've been singing this morning. Truly, our Father, in our singing of the praise this morning, we have been reminded of thy faithfulness and goodness and tender mercies towards us. And loving Father, we have indeed just rendered that song, Take the World, but Give Me Jesus. And loving Father, in this day and age of so much commotion, so much distraction, loving Father, help us, our Father, once again to set our affection on things above, on the things of God. So, our loving Father, we look now to thee. Remember us now very especially as we turn to thy word. Close us all into thyself. Close us into the word of God. And grant our Father that as we meet for this short while around the open scriptures of truth, come, Lord, bless our gathering together. We give to thee the praise, the honor, and all the glory, for we ask it in the Saviour's lovely name. Amen. Now you may have heard, and indeed you may have read, that it is reported that Mary, Queen of Scots, said on one occasion, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of Europe. My friends, that was a very big statement by that late Queen there of Scots. Dear friends, it may well be that that was the last time when anybody feared the prayers of the church. may well have been the last time that anybody feared the prayers of the church. Certainly today the world doesn't fear the church. The church, I believe, has lost its power of a past day, and I think to a great extent has drifted away from the characteristics of the early pioneers that are brought before us here in the Acts of the Apostles. Peter and John here are brought into focus in our scripture reading here. They've been called into detention by the authorities. They have been reprimanded for their preaching concerning the resurrection and those things concerning the Lord Jesus. And after caution, they're released once again. You will remember that in that second chapter, that the man there, as they went up to the beautiful gate of the temple, the man that was lame for 40-odd years, he had been wonderfully restored. You remember as Peter set his eyes upon him, he said to him, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." There was a dear soul of 40 years of age, certainly one that was well known in and around the locality. And dear friends, here's a miracle that none of them could deny. And indeed, in the verse 10 of chapter 3, it says, they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which has happened unto him. So here's a miracle. And friends, the authorities and those against the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're rearing their ugly head and they're protesting vigorously, with the result that Peter and John, they're called in before the authorities, held in detention, well chastised, if you like, and then they're released. And that's where we are in this 23rd verse where we began our reading together. It says, "And being let go," they're discharged from custody here, and I want you to notice what they did. They went to their own company. You know, dear friends, something very beautiful here. Here are two men. They're released from custody. And you know, they went to the place where they felt at home. And it was the natural thing to do and the natural place to be amongst their own company, amongst the believers. Beautiful thing to do. And you know, as they come together here, they brought a report with them of the ordeal that they had just been through. And whenever they heard that in verse 24, you'll notice there, immediately the assembly, they went to prayer. And dear friends, what did they do? They spread out before the God of heaven the problems that were facing the infant church. They did exactly what dear old godly King Hezekiah did way back in Isaiah 37. You'll remember, a threatening letter was read out in his hearing on one occasion. What did that godly king do? He calmly took the letter, and that letter that was read out in his hearing, he simply went and he spread it out before the God that he trusted in. You know, dear friends, today, as you and I look around society in general, what can we say? My, there's a vast tide of iniquity and sin that seems to be gathering pace with every day and every week that goes past. And friends, surely God's people need to get to the place of prayer. Surely we do. Dear friends, here's what these dear folk done in dire situation here. They unitedly found themselves in the place of prayer, and it's powerful praying that the church desperately needs today. And I feel, brethren, and I think I must say this, I feel that the church to a great extent today has lost what the early church did when we were formed way back in those early days. My, you went to prayer meetings. And my, if you weren't quick at getting in to pray, you didn't get praying, because it was continuous prayer and it was earnest prayer. And the Lord moved and the Lord worked amongst us, brethren. We can't deny it. Surely, we need to get back to the place of prayer in the day and age in which we are living. My, we're living in a day of commotion. We're living in a day of distraction. And you know, I'm delighted to see so many young people in a congregation like this. And you know, the distractions for young people and the gadgets they have, they're not good, friends. They're not good. They need to be controlled. Brethren, we need to get to the place of prayer, not only for our up-and-coming generation, but for society in general. I want us to notice just three things mainly in the short time that we have together. I want us to notice, first of all, the person that filled their thoughts. The person that filled their thoughts on this occasion. You know, it's lovely to notice there in that 24th verse, they lifted up their voice to God. Isn't that wonderful? My, the news and the report they got from these men, it wasn't good. It wasn't good. And yet, friends, they turn, and they turn away from man, and they turn away from their problems. What do they do? They turn to the God who has the solution to every situation. You know, friends, here are folk. They're a bit like the psalmist whenever he prayed there in the Psalm number 62, whenever he said, "My soul, wait thou on God." Friends, the psalmist's expectation was from God. And dear friends, here's folk here, and their expectation was from God. Why, the outlook for them was bad, wasn't it? The outlook was bad. But what about the uplook? Why, it's the uplook that counted. It's the uplook that mattered. And friends, that's where you and I need to see the situation today. The person that filled their thoughts. Now, three things about the person that filled their thoughts I have jotted down here. I want you to notice, first of all, they recognized the authority of God. Why, look at the preparation these folk made here as they came to the place of prayer before they ever petitioned God at all. Look what they did. You know that word Lord that's used there in verse 24? And mind you, I'm no scholar at these big words and their meanings, but I think I can say this, that word that's used there, it indicates omnipotence. It indicates, I believe, the unrestrained authority of God. And listen, friends, that's where victory begins now. That's where victory begins. It's in the authority of God. Think of the situation they find themselves in here. Look at the 18th verse of that chapter. We didn't read it, but look at that verse 18. And they called them, that's the authorities called them, and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Dear friends, there's a very, very stern warning. It's coming right from the top. It's coming from the highest authority of that day. And it's being brought to bear on these dear folk. They're not to speak at all. And yet, friends, take a look at it. They recognized that with God all things were possible. Why, it didn't deter them. Sure, it didn't. Oh, they recognized the authority of God. My, here's people. I believe they would have said, is anything too hard for the Lord? Why, that's the way they viewed their situation. They recognized the authority of God, but they recognized something else. They recognized the sovereignty of God as well, I believe. You see, from verse 25 to 28, what are these people doing here? They're casting their minds back to the very darkest days. Whenever their hopes were dashed, they're casting their mind back to that time whenever the Lord Jesus was put to death. But friends, notice something about them. They realized that God was in charge of it all. Those things that happened were done, verse 28, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Listen, friends, when situations get grave, sometimes God's people panic. No panics in heaven, friends. There's just plans. God has one great big plan, friends. And he will work out his plans according to his sovereign will. And God here is sovereign, and they see the hand of God in all that has happened here. You see the way their praying is based here on the scriptures? It's based here on Psalm number 2. And they understood exactly from Psalm number 2 what was happening, because they express it there in that 28th verse. They could see that it was the predetermined counsel and foreknowledge of God. Calvary was no mistakes, dear friend. Yes, many were left perhaps bewildered by what had happened. Listen, friends, there's no mistakes. And there are things that happen. They're happening amongst us day after day. And friends, you and I sometimes are left with mysteries. Things that are very difficult to understand. But remember this. The Lord would say, what I do thou knowest not now. Thou shalt know hereafter. Dear friends, you see the exalted view these people had of their God now as they met together. By the ground is preparing here. They're getting onto good praying ground before they ever petition God at all. But they recognized a third thing here. They recognized here that there was victory in God. You see, if you and I were to read the Psalm number 2 and read down through it there, it would tell us and refer to us prophetically how the Lord Jesus was going to be crucified. But down about the 6th verse, doesn't it tell us here, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Dear friends, here are folk, and they recognized the outcome of it all. They recognized there was going to be victory. Ultimate victory, final victory, through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, can't you see now? Here's folk and they met together, and their praying is centered in God. I wonder, friends, is that the way we meet in our prayer meetings now? Do we do that here in Kilkeel? Do we do it in Banbridge? Do we do it in whatever congregation that we meet in? Friends, this is the ground. This is the ground upon which God can hear, and God's in a position to answer our prayers. But I want you to notice, secondly, I want you to notice here the prayer that was their burden. Look at the prayer that was their burden here. My, whenever you look at verse 29 there, my, here they are, they have now prepared the ground. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Friends, can't you see the prayer that was their burden here? Ah, dear friends, that word servant, it's worth noting. That word servant here, it means here a bondslave. Do you see the position these folk took before the God that they were bowing before? My, they were bond slaves, they were bond servants. In other words, they were fully committed to the Lord. Friends, isn't that what we need in our congregations today? Full commitment from God's people to the things of God. I wonder, friends, does the Lord have full commitment from his people? Does he not? You know, that's very searching. Very searching. When I search my heart about these things, I've got to ask myself, are there meetings in the assembly to which I attend? And maybe there's something else on that I've got to attend and I can't be there. Maybe that if that's the case, I need to reschedule my plans. Because I believe, friends, that when the Lord brings you into the assembly of God's people, He would want you to be coming in as a committed member in total. Now, I know there are circumstances, and you know there are good, genuine reasons and circumstances why we can't be in every meeting. The Lord knows all about that. But I'm talking about half-heartedness. Here are people here. My, they're servants, they're bond slaves, they're fully committed to the Lord. Why, they've the right concept about themselves, though they're on good praying ground here now as they start to offer up their prayers. What are they concerned about now? Three wee things they're concerned about, and notice them quickly. Well, they're concerned about the centrality of the Word of God. That's the first thing. Look at verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Dear friends, they're concerned about the centrality of the Word of God. And friends, today, God's word needs to be central in all of our gatherings now. God's word needs to be central in all our meetings. And furthermore, it needs to be delivered with boldness. Whatever the book says is what the preacher should deliver, and deliver it with boldness. Wasn't it doing this very thing that got them into trouble? Oh, yes, it was. My, here they are. They're preaching the Word of God with boldness. And my, they're laying it straight in front of the people what they have done. They have crucified the Lord of glory, whom God hath raised and whom God hath brought from the dead again. And my, it pricked them, it touched their hearts. My, here's people and they didn't believe in the resurrection. It was a raw nerve they touched. Oh, they preached the Word of God with boldness. What's these people doing here? You know, dear friends, doing this got them into trouble. And their prayer before God was simply this: Lord, give us more of the same. Mind you, friends, that's hard to grasp. Why, we could have understood it if they had toned the thing down and was saying, Lord, make life a bit easier. We're having a rough time. Lord, intervene. This is dreadful. No, no. They didn't do that. The centrality of the Word of God was foremost and uppermost in their minds. And friends, it needs to be today, because I believe we're living in a day whenever people, the itching ears, and people in many circles today, they're wanting something new. Itching ears, they're wanting something new. Listen, friends, there's no substitute for the old-fashioned meetings in the old-fashioned way. And there's no substitute for the old-fashioned Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And friends, when that old-fashioned preaching from the old-fashioned book is brought before men and women, there'll be conviction in the old-fashioned way, and sinners will be converted in that old-fashioned way. Yes, they're concerned about the centrality of the Word, but they were concerned about the availability of the people of God. You see verse 30 there. Verse 30, it says, by stretching forth thine hand to heal. My friends, how was he going to stretch forth his hand to heal? Well, friends, his hands are our hands. Friends, the Lord has no hands today but our hands. He's pleased to use the human instrument. You notice how this prayer was answered here in the 5th chapter in verse 12. It says here, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Ah, listen, friends. The availability of the people, that was the burden of their prayer. You know, dear friends, in this assembly here, here's bond slaves. They're concerned about God's word having its rightful place. They're concerned about the availability of God's people in God's word, working unitedly together. The story has been told, and indeed maybe many have read about it, about a very grand cathedral that was bombed in some of the European countries during the Second World War. Great damage was done due to a bomb that was dropped. And in that very beautiful cathedral, there was a statue there which depicted the Lord Jesus Christ standing there on a marble plinth with outstretched arms. And you know, dear friends, someone had etched underneath into that marble plinth, "Come unto me, I will give you rest." During the restoration of that very grand building, which took place some years after the war, they came to put that statue back on its plinth. It was found that due to that bomb blast, the hands were damaged beyond repair. However, the statue was placed back on that plinth. And friends, someone came along and they etched into the marble these words, "He has no hands but ours. He has no hands but ours." Friends, God's people need to be available. It pleases God through the instrumentality of men and women saved by grace to take his work forward and onwards. But you know, they were concerned about another thing here. The burden of their prayer concerned here the glory of God's Son. Look at verse 30 again. "Signs and wonders by the name of thy holy child Jesus." See, friends, all the power for the preaching, all the power for the performing of miracles, which was a gift that was given to the early church. It was given as a proof of divine intervention. Dear friends, his name alone deserved all the glory and all the honor. I wonder, friends, today, is the glory of the Lord central in all of our meetings along with his word? You know, dear friends, prayer here, here's folk gathered together here. And this is the means that they have used for the bringing of the power of heaven into their lives. Why, they prepared the ground, they approached God with a right spirit and in the right manner. Now they present their petition to God. And dear friends, I want you to notice lastly the power that stirred their soul. Here they are now. They have presented their prayers to God. Look at the power that stirred their souls. Verse 31 to verse 33. "When they had prayed, the place was shaken." My, that word shaken. My, that's the effect of a rushing mighty wind. Or it's the effect that's left after an earthquake. My, the people were shaken. And friends, that's what God's people need today. That's what God's people need today, I believe. My, we need a good shaking. My, if we were to meet in this old-fashioned way, I believe the Lord could come and give us all that good shaking up again. You'll notice that after this prayer meeting, they had power to live for the Lord. That's the first thing. They had power to live for the Lord. Verse 31. It says there, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they assembled, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Ah, listen, friends. I want you to notice something here. This is not a second Pentecost. The day of Pentecost has already fully come now in chapter 2. And there's not going to be another Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has already come. But listen, friends. These folk, already filled with the Holy Spirit, listen, they can't run on the one fill-up. You've got a car out there or whatever it is, mode of transport, and it can't run on the one fill-up, and you know that. And if you try that, you'll be walking. Oh, yes. You try running on fumes now, there's going to be trouble. And friends, that's what's the trouble in the church today. We need to, I believe, seek the Lord. There's got to be a fresh infilling of the Spirit of God. Why didn't Paul say that whenever he addressed the Ephesian assembly there? Didn't he tell them, be filled with the Spirit? Ah, that's what we need. We need Spirit-filled meetings, Spirit-filled prayer, Spirit-filled people. Yes, they had power to live for the Lord, but they had power to labor for the Lord. Look at verse 33. They spake the word of God with boldness. My ears empowered witnesses. It says there, they gave the word. Now that word gave there, it has the meaning of giving back. And I think it perhaps contains the meaning of the paying back or the discharging of a debt. You see, Paul, didn't he say there in the first chapter of Romans when he was writing to them that he was a debtor, both to the Greek and the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise? Ah, listen, men and women today, we owe the world the gospel. We owe the world the gospel. You and I who have been enlightened with the truth of the gospel and brought into the marvelous light and liberty of it, listen, you and I can support its spread today. Oh yes, you mightn't be called to evangelistic work to foreign fields or even at home. But listen, you and I can support the work with our effectual praying. We can support it in a practical way by our giving. Listen, there's a work for all to do now. A work for all to do. There was power to labor for the Lord and to put his work foremost and try to advance it in this day and age in which these men were living. But listen, the last thing I want you to notice is this. These folk had power to love for the Lord. My love characterized them. Look at verse 32. Tells us there, in the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he had, that he possessed, was his own. But they had all things common. Listen, friends, here's many believers. One body, one heart, one mind. My, what a big family this was, dear friends. What a big family it was. Look at the outworking of this unity in verse 34 and 35. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold, laid them down at the apostles' feet. Distribution was made unto every man according to as he had need. Friends, they had a responsibility towards each other. Responsibility towards each other. They had a generous spirit. There was an atmosphere of care amongst them, one for the other. You know, friends, today, whenever things are right in the assembly, with the Lord himself having his rightful place as Lord of all, friends, it's there and in that atmosphere that the Lord can command his blessing. Oh, listen, friends, today, let us take the word today as from the Lord. Mind you, we're living in a day whenever there's opposition. And friends, it's fast becoming, I believe, to the point where there's going to be protest against your open air down in the square. Mightn't be too far away. My, you and I could be reprimanded. Friends, we need to unitedly seek the Lord in this day and age in which we live. What a tide of iniquity there is. We need an intervention from God to stay that tide, to turn the hearts of the people of God back to himself. Give him his rightful place. And if the Lord has his rightful place, and the people take their position before him in a rightful manner, I believe the Lord can and the Lord will bring a blessing our way. Wonder, dear friends, today in this meeting, is there somebody with us? You're not saved today. Maybe you're agreeing with all that has been said today, and you would stand up and you would defend the word of God. But tell me, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour today? Mind you, there are folk today, they would defend these things that are too dear to us today, but yet they know nothing of the saving grace of our God. God's people today, they have listened to the word of God. And I know the people of God would readily agree today, yes, our God is able to intervene, and our God is able to stem this tide of iniquity. But listen, friend, before we go, I want to tell you something. There's a God in heaven, that very same God. And I'm delighted to be able to tell you, my Bible says, He is able to save. And He's not only able to save, He's able to keep you from falling. Would you not like to be saved today now? Would you not like to be saved, brought in and numbered amongst the people of God, and unite with them in prayer? And then you'd be in a position to seek the Lord for intervention that would really matter in the turning of the hearts of the people back to God and back to His Word and back to honoring His day. Oh, if you're not saved, listen, He's able to save now. He's able to keep. And one day, if you come to Him and trust Him, He's going to be able to present you faultless before the face of His Father in heaven. And He'll be able to say, Here am I, and the children that Thou hast given me. Wouldn't it be lovely to be amongst them? Aren't you glad you're saved today, brethren? Aren't you glad you have a little part to play in standing up for the Lord Jesus in such an evil day? May the Lord give us backbone that we may speak out and shout out and defend the things that are so dear to our hearts today. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts for His name's sake. Maybe in closing we could take time for a couple of verses of a hymn together, please. 583, please. 583, Blessed is the man, O God, that stays himself on Thee, who waits for Thy salvation, Lord, shall Thy salvation see. Soon shall our doubts and fears subside at His control. His loving kindness shall break through the midnight of the soul. His grace will to the end stronger and brighter shine, nor present things nor things to come shall quench the life divine. We'll take time for verse 1 and verse 4, standing together, please. Blessed to every waiting heart. And our Father, we look to Thee that there will indeed be that commitment from the people of God afresh to the things of God. And grant our Father that in this day and age in which we live, Lord, may there be that move of God in such a way that the tide of iniquity will be stemmed, the people turn back to Thee, back to the things of God. So, our gracious Father, we commit ourselves now to Thee. Remember us as we part. And peradventure there are those amongst us and they know not the Saviour. Oh, loving Father, may they remember that this day there's one who's able and he's willing to save. And he says to them at this very moment, come now and let us reason together. Oh, loving Father, may there be those today who'll bring their sin to the foot of the old rugged cross, repenting of it, turning from it, and trusting in the Saviour of sinners. Go with us now, Father. Take us onward towards our home in safety. Gather us again in the evening hour around thy word. We'll give to thee the praise, the honour, and all the glory. For we ask it all, giving thee our thanks. In the Saviour's lovely name. Amen.